Well, good evening, everyone. And the first thing I'd like to do is thank the Vicar very much for inviting me to speak this evening. I'm not sure what I can add to the great canon of knowledge about faith and education, but I'll have a go at saying something that hopefully doesn't mirror the insanity of the words that we heard a moment ago in the anthem. And I am indeed someone who does feel sometimes that destiny has a way of catching up with you. So I did just want to point out that if the reading was in any way to do with Project One Campus, and not just the building of a tower, but the building of a school, everything is going brilliantly. So, faith in education. Where to begin? Well, when I was growing up, there were two taboos in our household that my mother was very, very clear about. The first one was that you don't talk about children, and the second one was that you don't talk about religion. And here they are, colliding in my middle age, just when I thought it was safe. So, when I started collecting my thoughts about what I was going to say this evening, I thought I'd turn to people whose views I admired. And I am a great admirer of Rowan Williams. I think he's a great theologian, speaks a great deal of sense, and although a deep intellectual, is someone that people can relate to. So I thought, let me see what he has to say about Christianity and religion. And he said, it's something to do with ethos, atmosphere, and the way people feel valued. Well, I felt that was a little bit of a cop-out and didn't really help me at all, because those are really useful things, but the thing that is missing from there is Christ in the Christianity. So that didn't really help me at all. So I thought, well, having looked for the great sages, I'm just going to have to dredge my own thoughts up. So I thought probably we should just break the question down a little bit. First of all, what do we define as an education? Well, it's so broad, but these are some themes. They don't at all cover everything, but it certainly includes the acquisition and application of knowledge, dealing with the subjective, making reasoned decisions, and respecting truth. Now, my own discipline is music, and that's informative here because the notes written by the composer, they are non-negotiable. That is truth, and they need to be treated with respect. But how they're interpreted, how loud is forte, how slow is lento, well, then we're getting into things that are about interpretation, and that's about our own experience and indeed our learning. What do we want for our pupils? Now, the danger is, and if you look at any school's mission statement, the danger is that everything sounds slightly cliched. But nevertheless, these are things that I think are really important. We want to nurture all of our pupils' potential. I don't think there's a head in the country that wouldn't say that. And we want them to fulfill their potential too. We want them to make a really positive impact on their communities and be a force for good. We want them to be respectful of the world and to respect themselves and to respect others. And so, in that context of what an education is, where is faith? Well, I think there are two aspects, and the first is about the culture of the school, and one is about the teaching of religion. And I was going to touch on that latter one to start with. When I look back over my own education in the past 20-odd years that I've been teaching, schools have sometimes found it quite hard to define the teaching of religion. So when I was at school, it was divinity, and yes, I was at a Woodard school not too far away from here. In some schools, it was called scripture. Later, it became called religious instruction, which sounds rather severe. And then it took on a slightly softer frame with religious studies. And now we've abandoned trying to describe the religion, really, by just calling it religion and philosophy. And of course, schools within those contexts, whether they be church and faith schools or not, approached religion in very different ways as well. I was speaking to a colleague of mine on Friday who described to me scripture at their school, which was literally reading the Bible from the first word to the last. I assume it was a through school from 3 to 18, so it would take quite a long time. But also at that school, the punishment was writing out psalms. And I never got to the bottom of what misdemeanour would require the writing out of Psalm 119. In my own school, it was a punishment to write out any passage from the Bible that the prefect asked you to do, but it was on graph paper, and so capital letters had to be four small squares, and lowercase letters had to be two small squares, and you, for some obscure reason as well, you always had to have nine words on a line. Anyway, they always knew if you hadn't done it. But although I'm being slightly flippant, actually an understanding of the world's religions, however they are framed, is, I think, critically important. So much of our culture, so much of our law, and so many ways in which our societies operate means that knowing the tenets of faith is critical. But none of that actually is anything to do with living a faith. And that, I think, is hard in a school, because I just don't think that faith is something which comes with study. It's not an academic exercise. What I do think we can and should set out to do is create a strongly moral framework, which may indeed have resonance with lots of world religions. We should value integrity. We should call out poor behaviour and poor attitudes. We should expect our pupils to respect and understand one another. Because if we can't do those things in the context of a school environment, what hope do we have for society at large? And interestingly, Michael Gove may have unwittingly had a hand in all this, because during the academisation programme, and the free school programme, and when so much control, if you like, was lost from local authorities, to create some sort of coherence, a programme of British values was created, which talks about tolerance and respect for diversity, and really is a really quite liberal agenda. But then there's the culture of the school as well, and what defines that? Is it through prayers in assembly? Is it through hymns being sung? Is it through Bible readings? Well, I happen to think that the culture of a school community should be fully inclusive and should be blind to people's backgrounds, to their faith, to their sense of religion, to their community, because we are our own community within a school. Children need more than anything else to feel valued and to be accepted for who they are. And my sense is that the generations in school today are very socially progressive. I happen to also think that that's a very good thing. And yes, they have a strong sense of right and wrong, but that relates to actions and not to the DNA that makes them up. And this, I think, is a real challenge between education and some religions, or at least the interpretation of some religions, because there is undoubtedly a cultural jarring where the teachings, for example, on sexuality by the church just don't sit well with the communities that I see within education. Because they just don't seem fair. They don't seem to resonate with that generation. And for the same reasons, I think Brexit, although it's nothing to do with education or faith, jars with so many of the generation that we are teaching currently, because they just don't get it. They don't understand what is trying to be fixed, because they don't see the problem. Now, of course, you can say that's all to do with experience, but as a head, that's my experience, and that's what I hear. Now, in many ways, that all sounds rather dry, because yes, we teach religion, and no, I don't think we can teach children to have faith. But of course, there is something above that and beyond that in the human psyche that longs for other and something on that higher plane. And I suppose let's call that spirituality. And that really does need nourishing. And a school is a vibrant place for that to happen. And it takes place in art, in music, and in drama. It's finding the mysticism in that final chord in the Durufle Requiem, which may not move you, but for me, it takes me somewhere else. It transports me. I don't know why, and I don't know where, but it does. It's the same way that a mathematician or a physicist might see beauty in an equation, which to me is just baffling and befuddling, but to them is art. And that creativity, I think, is vital. And of course, the deep irony in that, because you can't measure it in an easy way, is that it's often the first area that gets cut when money needs to be saved. So how does all of this hang together? Well, I think in schools, fundamentally our job is to really open our pupils' eyes to the great richness of life, to seek something beyond the everyday. They may choose to embrace religion, they may be blessed with faith, but we all need to understand what makes each of us who we are. And in the context of that social cohesion, for want of a better phrase, that, I think, is the really important intersection of faith and education.